While he's looking it up, are we on? Okay, go to Ezekiel 1 again. Or Ezekiel 2, I mean. No, Ezekiel 1. We just touched on verse 22 of Ezekiel 1 yesterday. The wheel within the wheel and the wings and the four faces, we studied yesterday about how they were all a picture of Christ and his body. I don't want to repeat all that. So anyway, we'll start in verse 22. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. The word terrible doesn't mean our definition of terrible. It means awesome or unbelievable. But this the believers are living in this light of the crystal. And so we walk in the light as he is in the light. There are no shade, there's no corners, there's no shadow of turning. There's none of our former twisty ways. There's no policy, no tactics. Not even any morals is what we normally think of. Not conscience. We live in complete and total dependence on God, second by second, without any preconceived ideas about what life should look like. Now, this is impossible for your mind, because your mind can do nothing but judge. That's why you must come to the understanding that you owe your mind and your senses and your feelings absolutely nothing. Are you here, Ronnie?
Yeah.
You sure? All right. No planning, no ideas of what's going to happen next, no schemes, no deceptions, no thinking about it. A believer doesn't sit and mull over something. A believer acts. A believer doesn't even consider the consequences. You take the incredible risk of acting without consideration. Because the source of your thought process is no longer the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. The source of your thought process or your whatever the impulse is the Spirit of God. I don't want to go into it today, but remember Jacob. This character that whose name was changed to Israel, or she who sees God. He didn't use his own name for over 20 years at least, because his name was Jacob, which meant the way of the snake. Everybody remember this? So he always called himself son of, who was he the son of? No, but who was he after the flesh? Who was he? What did he call himself?
Son of Isaac.
Son of Isaac. And the angel, he finally met the angel of God, and they fought and fought and fought. And the angel would not let him go until he told him his name. And he finally said, my name is Jacob, or I am the way of the snake, or I am the Antichrist. And in that instant, the angel released him, and his name was changed from Jacob, the way of the snake, to Israel, she who sees God. You can't see God and live. So Jacob died the moment he saw. So Jacob picked up the cross. Now, we're going to have baptism this weekend. So hopefully each one of you have at least intellectually picked up the cross. That means you've died. But some of you are starting to smell because you haven't been buried. Some of you have gotten wet a few times, but you haven't been baptized, which is your burial. So I want you to consider from this point until the moment of baptism, if you're ready to be buried, that he alone might live. Amen? All right. Do you have anybody have any thoughts or responses to this idea of living in the light, living in the terrible crystal?
Well, it just occurred to me as you were talking about Jacob, the type of Jacob. His father is Isaac, the child of the promise. Yet he can't live on the fact that he's the son of
Amen.
That. It doesn't mean anything. It's a false identity. Yep.
God has no grandsons. Or daughters.
Well, hearing it gives me a sense of excitement, but still at the same time I'm thinking that you stub your toe a lot.
Well, I mean, again, remember, you give the Antichrist or you give your Jacob life by you give him breath, you give him life, you allow him to be raised from the dead by your thought process, and then you feed him by your you. Let me put it another way. You give him breath by acknowledging yourself. Like you don't deny Christ by saying he doesn't exist. You deny Christ by saying you exist. So every time you believe you exist by giving thought to yourself, then you're giving the Antichrist life because you're giving you breath. You all recognize that you have never existed. There's been this being that's been masquerading as you from your moment of self-awareness. And that being is the Antichrist. And that's all you've been able to do is to give him life. He's raised from the dead, from the deadly head wound. And you give him life. And you feed him by your thoughts over and over and over and over. I'm thinking negative thoughts. I'm thinking that I'm a bad person. Well, if you're a bad person, you're still giving him life. That's why Christ said, abandon yourself, take no thought for your life in any dimension. Oh, but I'm not becoming spiritual fast enough, or I want to know more about God. All of those are evil because you're giving breath to the evil one. Understand? Sounds so sincere. I'm just trying to be a good Christian. You're a friggin' Pharisee is what you are because you're just a hypocrite. You know you're not. Nobody's a good Christian except Christ.
We're good Christians, okay?
Yeah, I've said that a few times on the air.
Another thing about the Isaac connection. Isaac had to go through the same thing. Isaac carried the wood of the cross.
That's right.
He said, finally, tightly to the altar. It's each man has to carry his own burden. There's no, I can't identify myself as, pardon the expression, the spiritual son of old, or you of Norman Grubb. I mean, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't mean anything.
You never notice how much I talk about Norman Grubb?
About once every 5 years.
Yeah. Remember, for those of you that I know most of you always remember all this stuff, but just in case one or two of you doesn't, remember that when Isaac was taken up to the mountain, the scriptures say that Abraham came back and his but it doesn't say that Isaac came back. So Isaac symbolically died in the same way that Jacob died when he told the angel his name. But until you tell the angel of God your name, until you admit that you are the instead of Christ, then you're still just trying to improve, trying to get better, which is just getting old. It's just like sickening. Right? All right. Then verse 23. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on his side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let their wings down, or let down their wings. Whenever they heard the voice of God, they rested. They let their wings down. Now, remember, this sounds like the weirdest way in the universe to try to describe either Christ or the followers of Christ. It's weird to our consciousness, this whole idea. But in the ancient mind, they saw and understood in pictures. So you've got to continually remember that. You can't judge this by your own mind. All right. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and they let down their wings. That's what I'm talking about. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. From the very beginning, the scriptures have taught us, and I have taught, that we are to be see-throughers, never see-atters. Because if you see at, you will never ever know that you are seeing and living in the new creation, in the new Jerusalem. You will always believe that whatever it is that you think the Bible is about or that spiritual matters are about is going to happen someday. That when you die, you're going to cross over across the Jordan. You must see just as they saw. There was no amber and jewels, and probably wasn't even any wings. This is what they saw spiritually, and what Ezekiel was able to see. Just as I've said a million times, that you are to see through everything, and if you can see through to see what is really there, you will see always the New Jerusalem. If you see the New Jerusalem, you will always see Christ. And once you see Him as all and in all, you'll never again judge. You won't judge yourself. You won't judge others. You won't be anxious. You won't be nervous. You won't plan. Can you imagine standing in the presence of God and be worrying about tomorrow? The only thing anybody in the scriptures ever did when they saw saw God is they fell down as dead. Okay.
No.
Now, in order to see the New Jerusalem, how can I say this? The mind cannot see the New Jerusalem, so you have to see beyond the mind. Your natural eyes cannot see the mercy seat. Your natural eyes cannot see the cherubim. Your natural eyes can't see anything. I mean, just a incredibly narrow portion of the possible rays or frequencies of light. And so by faith is the only way that you can see these things. Now, I was very fortunate because the moment I became a believer, I was taken in a place where I could at least see like a crack in the wall or a crack in time. And so I always, since the day I became a believer, I saw that. And so I knew from that never again to trust my senses. That's the only thing that has ever held me in rest or anchored, if you will, in faith. Because I know, don't get any theology from the Matrix, but I know that what we see is not our reality. Now, can any of you have you broken through so that you know that, or are you still trying to see the spiritual matters by your senses? Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's actually comforting to know that you can't perceive spirit by sensory things. I mean, if you could, that would put a whole new... It wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
The survival of the fittest, man against man, who's the best sensory perceptor of spiritual things?
Well, what you see is that the world is on fire.
Yeah, you see that.
That's the first thing you see. The second thing you see is you see through it to see that which can't be burned, that which isn't dependent on oxygen for its reality. If you can look and see, well, first of all, if you can first hear, remember we've gone through this before. This is true of every man that has ever been born. What he hears is what he sees. And so unless you can hear this, you'll never see it. And the only way you can hear it is if your ear has been circumcised. And what does that mean? It means the only way that circumcision happens. In the Old Testament, circumcision happened. Remember that? We ran this joke in the door. Abraham is looking up at God and says, "You want me to cut off the head of my what?" Well, that was the type that was what got every man in trouble since the beginning of time. And so symbolically, to cut off the foreskin is to cut off that which is troublesome, which sort of leads man. I mean, I won't go into that. That's too easy. But now, instead of circumcision to remove a portion or something that you think is troubling to you, you are baptized. Circumcision, old type, baptism, reality. Circumcision is to baptism as life is to death, really. I mean, you die. You when you go under the water, you're buried forever. That's the only way you can understand what the New Testament means when it talks about that the Antichrist is raised from the dead from the deadly head wound. But you're the one that raises him from the dead. Am I capiche? All right. Now, Paul saw the glory, and from that moment, he counted all things but loss. Paul saw this, verse 26, above the firmament, the likeness of a throne, the appearance of sapphire, and the appearance of a man on the throne. That reality is always here. And when Paul saw that reality, He suffered the loss of all things and counted them but dung. Again, there is no any merit in suffering loss. I mean, even idiots, spiritual idiots suffer loss. But it's only by the Spirit of God can you suffer the loss of all things and count them but shit, is what the Scripture says. Count them but that which is totally valueless. So therefore, if you still want something, then you haven't suffered the loss of all things. And even if you have, you still count the things that you think you lost, the possibilities, you've given them value. So you're constructed so that unless you are able to empathize, to see yourself in the place where those things are, and then count them but dung, but you better quickly go do it, so that you can go out there and do it and count them and dung. No matter what it is, if you think you need money, then go get some money. I don't care. No. If you think you need to travel, go travel. If you think, but it's, to me, it's kind of stupid, because there are enough people in our organization that you know intimately who have done all the things that you want to do. And they all, if they wouldn't even be here if they didn't think I'm just as stupid as everything else. So, like Ronnie. Ronnie wanted to just go be a normal person. That is the worst thing I've ever heard Ronnie say.
He didn't want to be famous.
No, he just wanted to have a little house with a white picket fence and like a job, and
yeah.
8 to 5 normal kind of thing. Can you imagine how bored you would be in that? I think you can, but you just don't want to admit it to yourself.
Yeah, I can see how I would be bored.
All right. Michael wants to travel. Why don't you just go up in the mountains? Wants to just go, just have some money in his pocket to go wherever he wants to go. What he wants is independence. That's fine. If you haven't heard how stupid that is, but if you can't hear, then you've got to go do it and do it quickly. There's nothing wrong with wanting that. What's wrong with any of these things is the if only thinking. It's the
what's really stupid is not doing it.
Yeah.
Sitting for your whole life going, oh, if I could only go to Paris.
Texas.
Yeah. All right. What we're going to see in a minute is when Ezekiel saw this. Let's go down. I'm going to read this quickly because we're running out of time as usual. 3 minutes? What are you taking, Josanna's job? Verse 27. And I saw as the color of amber and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, this is one of the few times in the Scriptures where there's somebody who's so-called slain in the Spirit. Ezekiel here pulled a Benny Hinn. Or God pulled a Benny Hinn. You don't ever fall, there's nothing in the Scriptures for you to be slain in the Spirit unless you see the glory of God. Now, that can't be orchestrated. I can never come up to you and say, oh, I see the anointing upon you, and put my hand in your forehead and make you fall. I mean, any stage hypnotist can do that. But it's so appealing. to a certain class that wants to see something unusual in order to prove their faith.
It's needing a sensory experience.
The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Amen? Then God spoke to... Well, let's go. We can go a little longer.
You know, earlier you said don't get your theology from the Matrix, but...
I knew he was going to say this.
No, I'm not going to say anything about the movie. I'm just going to say that the closest I've ever come to that experience was sitting watching that movie.
That's enough.
When they revealed what the alternate reality, what the true reality was, that's the closest I ever came to just being knocked out.
And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. God spoke to him, told him to stand. He couldn't do it until the Spirit entered into him. All this is great. I mean, this is man. He's seeing the glory of God. And then what happens in the next chapter, the fourth chapter, the third? He has to eat his own dung mixed with barley. His dog wouldn't even eat it. He had to experience, and then after the fourth chapter, the rest of Ezekiel is Ezekiel speaking the words of God without reference to himself. Is a miracle. And it can only come from suffering. All this took place on Pentecost. For hundreds, thousands of years, the Jews read what we just read and more. They read from the first Ezekiel 1:1 to 3:27, to the end of the third chapter. On the Feast of Pentecost. You can imagine, if any of you have ever read any part of the Talmud, you can imagine. There's 6 jillion rabbis, and every one of them has an opinion, and they're not very shy about speaking it. And the Talmud, the Haggadah portion of the Halakha portion of the Talmud is the oral law. The Haggadah portion of the Talmud is the various arguments about what something meant. They go on, they wax endlessly on this Ezekiel 1. And most of it is just pure horse hockey. But just like in the rest of the Talmud, every once in a while you see that someone saw Christ. Just like Abraham. Jesus said of Abraham, he said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. So the only thing about Pentecost that I want you to consider is to be able to open your mind and heart and spirit and everything sufficiently to be able to just dismiss everything else. And then you will see these things. Amen? Anybody have anything else?
I always think of that drive down there. It's arduous. Even though it's really not that bad. But right now I'm thinking that's parallel to the first Pentecost. Because there was some effort required of people that went to get there.
Well, just remember, even after that incredible revelation, God then messes with the messenger until a message has no reference to the indignities that the messenger had endured. This is true self-abandonment and absolute obedience. So, if you hear somebody speak of God, something that they saw from God, and they're speaking how rich and happy and healthy they were after they saw it, they're lying to you. I promise you. God will make you eat your own dung or something worse. Anyway. Michael likes that. Gary, any expansions on the tale?
Well, the only thing that comes to mind is that popular phrase, how deep does the cross go and deeper still. The more you hear, the more it kills you. And that's not really bad. But to the flesh, it has to be experienced as it is something bad to the flesh.
Amen.
But to the spirit is joy and peace and glory.
What's that cliche? When the soul mourns for what it has lost, the spirit rejoices for what it has found.
You know, I just realized something here. Since I became a believer this morning. Nothing that I thought was happening. I thought my life would get better and things would be great. And it's like, it seems like I've been through more hell than before I became a believer. And I always thought,
you thought something was wrong because of that. But see, the people that tell you that won't happen to you are lying to you. That's why, and you want to believe that. You want to go be delivered so you won't have to suffer. And that's the lie, that because the only reference we have to the truth is the scriptures, or are the scriptures. And there are no examples in the scriptures of becoming a believer and then everything is good. There are no examples in the scriptures of successful families. You know, I know you sometimes concerned about what your relatives are. The scriptures are the worst family values in the history of the world. And yet today all the Christians are talking about Christian family values. There are no examples of believers that become rich, except Abraham and a couple others like that. But that's symbolic of the riches that are yours, because now you own all things. If you were a believer, all things exist for your sake. You own all things. Well, gee, if I own all things, how come I'm so broke? Huh?
Yeah, I was saying that to Gary one day.
Well, that's the chastisement of God. I mean, I can show you 1,000 ways how all things exist for your sakes and how you do own all things. That's why you're never concerned about money or lack, or you're never concerned about what the appearance of something is. Amen? Anybody else? What? You get that shit-eating grin on your face again.
I said last night, I thought I was going to live in Manhattan and have dinner with Fred Astaire every night.
With Fred Astaire?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was going to go to the Star Club and have dinner with Fred Astaire every day.
Now you have dinner with us.
I have dinner alone in the kitchen.
Well, that's because you're eating that crap. Karen, any thoughts? Any response? Is it any different from hearing it on tape? On the computer?
No, it's just different to see.
What did you imagine it to be?
I actually tried not to imagine anything.
Good.
I kept hearing the birds. That's the one thing.
Hearing what?
The birds.
Oh, yeah.
The trucks drive by.
That gets on the tape.
Yeah.
nasal shot.
Yeah, the trash truck.
It makes it sound so peaceful.
All righty. See you all in
hell. Oh.
See you at Lake Whitney, I hope.